Good afternoon, Eastern Washington and future Liberty State. This is Matt Shea, and welcome to Patriot Radio, broadcasting live from deep inside the heart of the future of Liberty State, and broadcasting throughout all of Eastern Washington, North Idaho, and Northeast Oregon, brought to you once again by the committee to elect Matt Shea, Republican, in the legacy of Dr. Stan Monteith, bringing you the story behind the story and the news behind the news. And once again, it's not about right or left. It's about right and wrong. Happy Constitution Day. Yes, we don't celebrate that much anymore, but best Constitution in history. Best able to check the designs of evil and ambitious men for all these years, despite all of the attacks. And fascinating that there really is a rise of hatred against the church, even among so-called conservatives. And by the way, you can't be truly conservative if you're cursing out other religions. That doesn't make much sense. Or if you're not capable enough to do your own research and you're listening to the mainstream media and being taken in by the manipulation, lock, stock, and barrel. You can't really be a conservative if you're allowing those things to happen. It's interesting, too, to note that a lot of veterans get where we're at in this country at this time. They really understand that this is not just a war of ideas, but also it's a spiritual battle, and we need to be ready for it. A lot of different things to go over today. Probably first and foremost is going to be the Israeli elections. That really is developing right now. We'll see where it goes here in the next few minutes. But I want to take an opportunity to really encourage everybody out there that we are making a difference. The fact that there's all these naysayers out there and all they can do is curse and call names and everything is actually having a profound effect. So people are choosing sides, in particular, in the best sense of the idea, choosing sides to defend the Constitution, to defend religious liberty, and to defend the Republic. And understand, too, that the ideals behind the Republic come from Christianity. They have Judeo-Christian foundations. And that when John Adams said that the Constitution was made for a moral and religious people, it's wholly unfit for any other, that this system can't operate with that moral underpinning. It's interesting how people get very, very upset about that, and believe that then gives them a platform to start bullying people. Now, Jesus told us in the end times this was going to happen. Told us that there would be scoffers and mockers, and these folks would do that. So we shouldn't be surprised. So how do we respond? Well, we love them, we bless them, we forgive them, and understand that some of this is going to come from inside the church, people that would call themselves Christians. Particularly when we're talking about the central doctrine of Christianity, that Jesus Christ now has dominion over this earth because he was crucified, died, was buried, and rose again on the third day. He has the title deed to the earth. And it's fascinating that now they are calling that doctrine hate. The central doctrine of Christianity. So what that is an antichrist spirit. And we just call it out for what it is. It's an antichrist spirit coming against the kingdom of Jesus Christ. So again, not about us, but about his kingdom, about him. And they really will do anything. They will lie, cheat, steal, manipulate people. They'll do anything. And to me, you know, that's the fruit of what's happening. But again, what do we do in this time? Well, I said some of the things. But also, we should not be afraid to call this stuff out. And also, we should not be afraid to stand up. And also, we should not be afraid to prepare for what these people inevitably are going to bring about. And that includes the sympathizers, those folks that are aiding and abetting the enemies of the Republic and of Christendom, actually. Those folks are trying to bring about something very horrible. And for those of us that have seen political violence firsthand in places like Bosnia-Herzegovina, and we have seen political violence in places like Ethiopia, you never want to see that. And least of all where you live, I mean, home here in America. But these people, they really, whether they mean to or not, that's where they're headed. And history says that that's where they're headed. And so for us, you know, we just need to understand that that's the trajectory these people are on. Again, bless, forgive them. But we need to be prepared too. And be prepared specifically to love our neighbors in such a situation. Because it becomes very apparent very quickly who these people really are. And most Christians are beginning to see through this. And I thank God for that. Most people are beginning to see through that. And I'll give a couple of specific examples later in the show. But I've been traveling around the country. And one of the things that really stood out to me was the lack of knowledge of history on one end, and then so many Americans waking up on the other. You know, socialism has a very deadly history, the worst form of government out there, and then all the people that are aiding and abetting socialism today, whether they know it or not, you know, they're aiding and abetting this system that resulted in the deaths of so many people. And you can't really call yourself, again, a conservative. You can't call yourself a patriot, or you can't even really call yourself an American if you are intentionally trying to undermine the Constitution of the United States, or you are aiding people that are doing that. And so this deadly history of socialism, there's a great article in the New American Magazine about this. You can go take a look at that. But today, it's as if all the horrors of socialism never happened. It's as if the National Socialist Movement in Germany, the socialist movement which turned into the fascist movement in Italy, and that is a matter of historical record, by the way. Antonio Gramsci, a socialist, wrote for the Italian socialist newspaper called Avanti or Forward. Benito Mussolini was a chief editor of the socialist newspaper Avanti or Forward. And Benito Mussolini had anti-capitalist sentiment. And then, as a compromise, really implemented fascism. He wasn't really the creator of fascism, that wouldn't be accurate, but he really implemented it. And then you had the socialist regimes in the former Soviet Union that ended up being fully communist, and fully communist in the communist China, and Red China. And that history seems to be not only ignored, but not even taught today. Then, this really stuck out to me, too, as I was traveling around the country talking about these things, and in very well received everywhere I went. But I was in the airport on 9/11, and the first announcement came on for a moment of silence. And that was when the first tower was struck, and nobody really said anything. Nobody did anything. Nobody really even stopped what they were doing. Second moment of silence request came out. And again, nobody stopped what they were doing, at least that I saw. Maybe there's one person, maybe. And I really couldn't tell if they were stopping for it. And it was pretty sad, because today in America, we have these two counter states coming against our republic, the Marxists and the Islamists. And people are trying to wish away the wolf at the door. They're trying to say, well, the wolf's never going to do anything, and we'll just wish it away. It'll walk past our door. And you know, that never happens. And when I was witnessing these things, you know, especially in the airport, it just struck me that that was the case, that people are wishing the wolf away. Or they're trying to create a wolf out of something that's not. And as Americans, we need to have an objective reality, an objective analysis of what situation we're in and then what to do about it. 1 Chronicles 12:32, and the sons of Issachar. And I think this is critical. And the sons of Issachar, they knew the times. With the knowledge about what to do about it. That was the second part of that verse. With the knowledge about what to do about it. Do you have that knowledge? And if not, are you getting involved in an organization that can give you that knowledge? Because that is where we are at in America today. We know the signs of the times. Many people know. They're like, something is wrong. I don't know exactly what, but something is wrong. And they don't know what to do about it. We need to be armed with that knowledge about what to do about it. First of all, I really strongly recommend getting the New American Magazine's premier intelligence digest in the country. Subscribe to Understanding the Threat, premier Islamist intelligence organization in the country. In other words, they have a lot of intel on what the Muslim Brotherhood is doing in the United States. Get involved locally in a chapter. Get involved locally in an organization, a group. Anything that is that can teach you what to do in these times. And it's not that difficult, and you don't want to waste your energy or your time. There's only a couple of organizations that are very effective. You need to do that. And you also need to understand, too, that just because somebody calls himself a Christian or a Republican doesn't necessarily mean they are. No, I mean, if you ask them, go down the platform of the Republican Party, it's kind of interesting the answers that you might get. And also it's interesting, too, that, and I'm starting to hear this, too, that the establishment is specifically targeting conservatives in Washington State, all the way up to and including the state party. I've got several instances of that here in the last month. Why would you do that? Why would you go against the very principles of the Republican Party? Unless you were enabling the counterstates. All right. I think I want to talk about one more thing too, briefly. If we don't act now, we may not have the opportunity to act later. If we don't act now, we might not have the opportunity to act later. And what we are witnessing in America against our president, against local elected officials, what we are witnessing in America is nothing less than political terrorism. It is an attempt to subvert and really destroy the vote, to make it so people don't want to vote, to demoralize the folks that voted for Trump. That's what's going on. It's important to understand that. All right. And now from the front, your daily intelligence briefing on the international front from the China-India region. We talked about the Kashmir autonomy being removed. It's still a flashpoint up there. Also, China is now seeking to run the UN Crime Agency. The chief of the UN Office on Drugs and Crime, UNODC. And this comes on the heels of the Chinese installing Qu Dongyu, the top spot at the UN Food and Agricultural Organization. Whistleblowers and diplomats have accused the regime of using bribery and threats to secure enough votes from UN member groups to have Qu take over this influential post. Now they're moving to install Andy Tsang Wai-hung as the chief of the UN Office on Drugs and Crime. Well, here's the bottom line. The communists are trying to take over the United Nations, which has been their plan. And if you go see how many countries in the United Nations are represented by the Socialist International or the Organization of Islamic Cooperation, which is linked to the Muslim Brotherhood, okay, and linked to Erdogan in Turkey, you will see that there is a vast majority of countries there, and just those two reasons are reasons enough to get out of the United Nations. But the current head of the United Nations, Antonio Guterres, used to be the president of the Socialist International. So it shouldn't be any surprise to us that China is now seeking to take over everything. All right, also on the international front, in Israel, it looks like right now, this coming to us from Debka File, the exit polls are showing Netanyahu short of a majority block for the new government. We don't know that for sure yet. And I guess what the bigger thing is, that as I'm looking through this list, this looks like Likud has a block of, 61 from three sample polls. The largest two parties gained 32 to 34 seats each. Anyway, bottom line is I'm not seeing Zahut being reported on right now, the Zahut party, which is really what I want to look at. So it looks like neither the right-wing bloc led by Prime Minister Netanyahu nor rival center-left blue-white headed by Benny Gantz have enough support for a majority government without crossovers. So it looks like they're back in kind of the similar position that they were in. Also on the international front, this is critical. It looks like, and this coming to us from Debka File, Iran shot missiles from Khuzestan and then drones from Western Iraq at these Saudi oil facilities. Now, I received some information from a high-level source, very clear that these Saudi oil facilities accounted for about 7% of the global production of oil, and so oil prices would obviously be going up. But it looks like this is a pretty significant escalation. If these missiles were fired from Khuzestan and in southern Iran, and then two armed drones from Anbar province in western Iraq, that kind of changes the thing. It changes the lay of the land in the Middle East. And this conclusion was reached by U.S. and Saudi intelligence probes into Saturday's devastating attack on the big Saudi oil refinery at Abqaiq and Kirkuk. So take a look at that. And, you know, I would suspect that it's probably going to be a Saudi, U.S.-backed, Saudi response to Iran in the Middle East. The United States may not do it directly. All right. On the national front, a judge has thrown out a lawsuit against the Southern Poverty Law Center. The lawsuit accused SPLC of trying to financially destroy one organization that it labeled as a hate group. And then it said that the upshot of the complaint is that defendants advanced a conclusion that was debatable and that this expression of a flawed opinion harmed plaintiff's reputation. So apparently they're saying that they didn't have any proof that the SPLC made a false statement, which clearly they have done that a lot, actually. All right, also on the international front, Donald Trump, and this is coming to us from WorldNet Daily as well, the building of the third temple in the Middle East, it's a big deal. And that's why we've been watching the Zahut party, which has called for the building of the third temple specifically. So, what's going to happen? Is Zahut, you know, going to end up being part of the coalition government? We don't know yet. We don't know if they've made the threshold yet. But This article in WorldNet Daily is very clearly bringing up the question, is Trump enabling the rebuilding of the Third Temple? And many people that I've spoken with that have ties in the Middle East, directly in the Middle East, believe the answer is yes. Also on the national front, and this is kind of both international and national, but PM David Cameron came out with his memoirs for the record. And Cameron claims that the current PM Johnson initially did not believe in the UK leaving the European Union, but became a prominent Leave supporter because it would help his political career. So throwing some gasoline on the fire there, but Cameron basically apologizing. Wow. And again, going against the majority of constituents in England. Be interesting how that shakes down. Also on the national front, the very interesting increase in Christian persecution is happening. I'm hearing businesses now, Christian businesses being set up for lawsuits in Washington State, but also in other areas of the country. And that's been happening, but this seems to be increasing. Now, it remains to be seen if the United States Supreme Court is going to take up the religious liberty issue. But I think it's an important thing to not just keep our eyes on, but also understand very well. Also on the national front, actually the regional front too, because the 51st state movement is now a national phenomenon. It is something that a lot of people are in support of. 90%+, in fact, and I'll get to that here in a second, at the Spokane County Fair. But specifically, now we are seeing that Washington, D.C. actually had 51-star American flags lining Pennsylvania Avenue as Washington, D.C. seeks statehood. Interestingly enough as well, that wouldn't be constitutional for D.C. to become a state. And the reason is because Washington, D.C. is actually delineated, specifically its boundaries, in the Constitution. You'd have to amend it because in the Constitution, it's specifically delineated as a capital, not as a state. So you would have to amend the Constitution. But my point with this is that a new U.S. flag with a 51st star is even becoming acceptable in our national capital, lining Pennsylvania Avenue. That's how much this movement is has come along. It's incredible, actually. Then, and I want you to take a deep breath. There was actually a positive article published in the Socialist Review, thanks to Sulani Madsen, in regards to Liberty State. And actually accurately quoted me when I said nobody wants to live in a state where they're going to try to take away our right to bear arms. And that's one of the reasons impelling us to create a new state. But 90% of the people that showed up at the booth at the county fair were supportive. And this was even more intriguing. Apparently hundreds of people, according to the folks that were talking to me about this, who were manning the booth, apparently hundreds of people were showing up at the Spokane County Fair because of the negative media, intentionally to rebuke the negative media and sign the petition. Amazing. Now, the petition is for an advisory vote to be put on the ballot for Liberty State. Awesome. Wow. And on top of that, all of the negative press has actually educated people on the movement, and now the movement is growing exponentially. Wow. Awesome. See, when these guys try to attack you and try to attack the truth, it just ends up blowing up in their face. It really does. And I'm really excited about this because freedom of religion is going to become, and probably already is, the seminal issue, even ahead of life, because one is kind of connected to the other. And I know if we get the life issue wrong, we get every other issue wrong. If we don't have the ability of freedom of religion, you know, I heard some horrible things that happened. Some Marxists tried to dox some people who were part of the Church of Planned Parenthood movement. And in other words, putting their names online, subjecting them to harassment, subjecting their families to harassment. In one case, an autistic child to harassment. Unbelievable. Anyway, we're going to see that kind of polarization from that. But we need to know, we are the silent majority that elected Donald Trump. And we are a majority if we get off the couch and we act like the church. Amen. All right. That is the briefing. Remember, the antidote to dependency and socialism is to be a God-fearing, self-reliant, freedom-loving American. Thank you to everybody that has been praying for me and Victoria. And also go to Facebook.com/Patriot Radio US, like the page, share it with your friends and family. And if you get the chance, you can go to voce.com, help keep us on the air. And Patriot Radio is also on iTunes and Podbean. And lastly, I almost forgot, this is an announcement for tonight at 7 o'clock in Coeur d'Alene at the Best Western Inn in Coeur d'Alene. So it's right off the freeway. Tom DeWeese is going to be speaking. If you have never heard Tom DeWeese talking about property rights, now's your opportunity. Tonight, 7 o'clock, Coeur d'Alene, Best Western Inn, Tom DeWeese. You will not regret going to that presentation. All right. It's my pleasure to introduce Dr. Michael Brown, the author of Jezebel's War with America. I'm really looking forward to this. Dr. Brown, thank you very much for joining me on Patriot Radio today. How are you doing?
Great. Great to be with you.
So what prompted you to write this book?
Well, a friend of mine, after a Sunday service, had called for prayer for the president and made some interesting comments that Jezebel was trying to attack the president, witchcraft was attacking the nation. It was just a prayer request at the end of his service. Well, the video of it went viral to his complete shock. I mean, even the Jerusalem Post did an interview with him that was favorable. And I was going to speak at his church some months after that. And as I was going to speak, that theme started to stir in me about Jezebel. What did he mean by it? What do you mean by witchcraft? Is he just out to lunch? What's he talking about? So I reflected on Jezebel in the Bible, probably the most wicked woman recorded in the Bible. She was a zealous idol worshiper. She was a murderer. She was a radical feminist who emasculated her husband. She's associated with sexual immorality and with sorcery and witchcraft. She silenced the prophetic voice. She intimidated by fear. And I began to look at the same demonic forces that were at work through Jezebel 3,000 years ago, and then a woman that Jesus refers to as Jezebel in the New Testament 2,000 years ago. Those same demonic forces were at work in an evident, clear way today. It was as if there was the spirit of Jezebel, the same demonic powers at work again today in our nation. And when you start to connect the dots from the radical feminism to witchcraft, from militant abortion to the seduction of porn, to the baby-killing spirit, to the silencing of prophetic voice, there it is. It just jumps at you. And I got stirred to write this book in an unusual way. I've written more than 35 books, but this was probably the most intense I had ever written. And I'm hearing regularly from readers. I was just on with a well-known secular radio host today. To my shock, he's talking about being a Christian and believing witchcraft is real and all this. They're all saying the same thing. I got the book and read it the same day. So there's something it seems to have struck a chord or hit a nerve with many readers to really identify a lot of what we're dealing with in America today.
Well, let's walk through this. Who did Jesus call a Jezebel, and what is this spirit? Now, I know Rabbi Jonathan Cahn has talked a little bit about this, specifically with Ahab and Joram, and he goes through that in his book, The Paradigm. But this is focusing specifically on Jezebel and how this spirit has pervaded through history. So if you could start with who Jesus called Jezebel and then kind of work us up to the United States currently in history right now.
Yes, sir. So in Revelation chapter 2, Jesus refers to a woman. He calls her Jezebel. Is that her actual name or just the name he's giving her because of her characteristics? She calls herself a prophetess, so it's false spirituality again. And then she's associated with sexual immorality and idolatry. So just like the Jezebel in the Bible, a seductress associated with sexual immorality and a zealous idol worshiper. And of course, we know in the ancient world with idol worship, there was also sacrificing of babies to idols. So when we look at America, and you mentioned Jonathan Cahn's book, The Paradigm, he talks about Trump being kind of a Jehu-like guy. Jehu was a king who did not come from a royal background. He was a general. He's described as driving recklessly or being a maniac, kind of fights with everyone. But he gets very zealous for God's cause and the worship of the one true God and pulling down idolatry. He's even befriended by a godly leader of his day, kind of like a Mike Pence of his day. But he's one of these alpha male types who's like a bull in a china shop, and he gets a lot of good done, but there's a lot of collateral damage. And Jonathan Cahn is kind of a parallel figure to a Trump, you know, gets a lot of good done, but there's a lot of collateral damage. Well, who is it that comes into final conflict with Jezebel? It's Jehu. So it's interesting that when you have a type of president like Trump, okay, we know on the one hand that women didn't like him because of his past and his misogynistic comments and his behavior can be crude and things like that. On the other hand, there's something supernatural, it seems, about the resistance to Trump, the hatred of Trump, the extremity of the women's marches, the blow up the White House, severed heads of Trump type thing, that witches gathering together to hex the presidency and hex the male patriarchy. So it doesn't take a rocket scientist to put this together and think, wow, this is really like a Jezebelic attack on the nation. So as we walk it through, Jezebel associated with idolatry. So the turning from the one true God and the embrace of created things, worshiping earthly created things. Then the sexual seduction of porn, something our nation's never seen. No generation's ever had to deal with what we do with porn and the internet. And then the rise of the militant baby-killing spirit, the shout your abortion spirit and just knock that baby out, just some tumor to get rid of. The rise of radical feminism, which is a militant, man-hating feminism that sees marriage as an extension of rape and would like to wipe males out, if not for serving some useful purposes. The rise of witchcraft, that there are reportedly more witches today among millennials than Presbyterians. And the connection between abortion, radical feminism, witchcraft, very evident with quote after quote in the book, shocking quotes. You also have the war on gender, turning men into women and women into men. And then the emasculating of men, just as Ahab was emasculated by Jezebel. You have that same emasculating of men in our culture. So in the old days, when I was growing up as a kid, Father Knows Best, Leave It to Beaver, Andy Griffith, Ozzie and Harriet, the father is wise, the father is stable, the father holds the family together. Today, and it's been years, you know, the Homer Simpsons and Everybody Loved Raymond's, the father's a nitwit, he's a jerk, he's unstable, he's to be laughed at and talked down to by the rest of the family. And when a dad today tries to be a real father and a real husband and a man in the best sense of the word, that's now toxic masculinity. And you add into that the silencing of the prophetic voice. Christians afraid to speak out, intimidated by fear. It's Jezebel. It is the same demonic powers at work today.
No question about it. It really is. And we're seeing it not just under the surface anymore. We're seeing it overtly in politics with quite literally witches coming out. We're seeing, you know, these weird rituals and things. And it's becoming, witchcraft quite literally is becoming normalized by folks in downtown Seattle. We've seen it several different times. As Christians, what should we be doing, and how do we recognize witchcraft, and how do we recognize this spirit, other than more the overt things that you've already talked about? How do we recognize it and then combat it?
Yeah, you know, we need to take the spiritual battle seriously. On the one hand, we're God conscious, Jesus conscious. We're not focused on demons and the devil, but we're not ignorant. The Bible repeatedly tells us to resist Satan or to be aware of his devices or to recognize the spiritual warfare that we're in. And in Jezebel's War with America, I lay out some of the symptoms, some of the evidences that Jezebel's attacking, not just, as you said, the outward things that we already described, not just, you know, the rise of sorcery and Harry Potter novels taking the nation by storm and all of that. I mean, those things we can see are evident. Some seem more innocent, some seem more dark. But Jezebel intimidates by fear. There is something that happens when spiritually we come in contact with this principality or these demonic powers. There's a sense of loss of authority. There's a sense of intimidation. There's a sense of being powerless and paralyzed. Often it comes with depression and hopelessness. And of course, I'm not saying every bout of depression and hopelessness is connected with a Jezebelic attack, but I'm saying that when you're going to stand up for what's right, when you put yourself on the front lines of the pro-life movement, when you try to push against some of the demonizing agenda of the radical left, and suddenly it's like all hell breaks loose against you. For a man, so you feel emasculated. For a woman, you have no sense of covering and security. I've had times in spiritual battle when I felt I had a message, kind of a wake-up call to the nation, a repent, wake-up message for the nation. No sooner did I start to bring it, I got overwhelmed with this attack. So obviously, as Christians and as leaders, we're aware of sexual seduction. We're aware of that battle, so we always keep our eyes open to that. But this can come in other ways. And to me, that being paralyzed by fear, that being shells of who we used to be, that we're afraid to step out, we're afraid to stand up, that when we do, we feel emasculated and cut down, lacking in authority. Those, to me, are symptoms that we are really dealing with this Jezebelic power. And all the more, then, do we need to take on what Scripture gives us, the Word of God, the armor of God, certain biblical principles that we lay out in the book to help people take Jezebel down in their personal lives and nationally. And remember, we're not talking about a person. We don't go around calling people Jezebel. You do that and you're asking for trouble. Often you hurt good people. But we are absolutely talking about demonic powers.
So we are talking about demonic powers. Luke 10:19, Jesus Christ gave us authority to tread upon the serpent, lies and deceit, scorpions, scourging, threats, and over all the power of the enemy. So very clearly we have been given that authority by Jesus Christ if we're abiding in him and him in us. So how specifically do we deal with the situation once we recognize, hey, this is witchcraft, this is coming against, this is coming from the outside, it's very clear, what do we do?
So first thing is, we must fill ourselves with God's truth and renew our mind and get this stuff beyond just kind of a mental knowledge until it becomes real in our hearts, starting with the fact that God is with us and that we have a spirit of faith which overcomes fear. When you are subject to fear, it's irrational. Someone having a panic attack, you don't just give them advice through it. There's something that's taken hold that's irrational. So in the same way, we're going to fight this spiritually. We take authority over the sphere by renewing our hearts and minds with promises of faith and God being with us. When that becomes real, we can pull this down. A second thing we have to do is clean house. For example, if we have been playing games with darkness, if we've allowed porn into our lives, if we've opened our hearts to dark spirituality, we've got to clean house. We've got to cut things out. They're destructive. Jesus said better to cut, metaphorically, better to pluck out an eye or cut off an arm or a foot rather than to let these things drag you into hell. So we have to be ruthless. You know, behind that smiling face of a seductive woman and some porn magazine, there are fangs. There's an enemy who wants to destroy you and wants to destroy her as well. And for those that are really struggling and addicted, we point to websites and programs that can help them get free. A third thing to do is to learn about the armor of God. You know, we know that in Ephesians 6 that the sword of the Spirit is the Word of God. So the sword that we use to fight back against the enemy is the Word of God. But it also speaks of the helmet of salvation and the breastplate of righteousness. And when you go to Isaiah 59, you see that the armor is actually taken from this passage that speaks about God wearing this helmet and God wearing this breastplate. Obviously, it's metaphorical. He doesn't put on a literal helmet or a literal breastplate. But what does it mean? It means the same armor that God wears, his own armor, he gives to us. We do not fight Jezebel in earthly human strength. We fight Jezebel by divine power. And then an insight the Lord gave me as I was writing this book, others it may be self-evident, but it was an insight for me. We know that fear is about the future. Something bad is going to happen. Oh, something's going to happen to your children. Oh, something's going to happen to your marriage. Oh, something's going to happen to your ministry. Or you're going to fall, or you're going to die. Fear is something bad is going to happen. When we get filled with the joy of the Lord, it's not just a recognition of his goodness and his love and his grace, but with it is a sense everything is going to be all right. No matter what you're going through, God's promises are true. And this spirit of joy is the great way to seal the victory in our lives and to cast down fear. So when I list in the second to last chapter of the book how to defeat Jezebel on a personal level, that's the fourth step. By walking in the joy of the Lord and encountering the joy of the Lord, which comes through worship and meditating on his word and comes from being in his presence. In his presence is fullness of joy. Psalm 16, Nehemiah 8, the joy of the Lord is our strength. This is a great way to triumph over the spirit of Jezebel.
You know, we had the Satanic Temple actually show up at the church at Planned Parenthood in downtown Spokane. Mm-hmm. Actually had a sign and everything. Really the first time, at least many of those Christians in the crowd had actually seen something overt. But this, they are organized. I mean, Satan is organized. And I don't want to, you know, try to dwell on it, but it's good to be able to recognize and understand that Satan is organized with a very intentional plan, and that intentional plan is to destroy you and your family. Very clearly.
Oh, there's no question about it. And in that sense, he's an equal opportunity destroyer. He hates everyone, wants to wipe us out. But who in particular? Those who are doing him damage. Those who are pushing back against darkness. Those who are setting captives free. Those that are doing his will, he empowers to do his will. But those that are standing, the light that's shining in the darkness, he tries to snuff out. And I agree with you totally. We don't want to give the enemy too much credit, but we do need to recognize what he's doing. Paul writes in 2 Corinthians 1 that we're not ignorant of his devices. He writes in 2 Corinthians 10 that we wage war using spiritual weapons, not fighting with earthly weapons. And in Ephesians 6:12, we looked to that passage earlier about the armor of God, but Paul says that we don't wrestle with flesh and blood. So I don't agree with many of the policies of the Democrats, but they're not my ultimate enemy. Right. I'm not a Muslim, but Muslims are not my ultimate enemy. There's an ultimate enemy, and his name is Satan. And it says in Ephesians 6:12 that we wrestle with principalities and powers, with demonic forces arrayed in heavenly places. In other words, there's an army, there are commanders, there is an agenda, and that. That seems to be the appeal of the Jezebel book. It seems to be what's hitting home with people is that you can connect the dots. It's not just random. You know, boy, one kid got sick with this, and the other kid got sick with this, and the other kid, it's the same disease with different symptoms. Now you can fight it spiritually. And look, the enemy comes in many different ways. There's the intimidation by fear, but there's also seduction. Oh, you need this, you want this, you have to have this. And sometimes it doesn't seem so evil. But when you realize the same spirit that's trying to seduce you through porn is the same spirit that wants to destroy your marriage, and the same spirit that's behind a partial birth abortion where a doctor pulls a living baby out of the mother's womb, delivers it feet first, pulls it out, there it is kicking, sticks a scissor in the back of its skull, and then sucks the brains out. The same demon behind that smiling, seductive face is the one inspiring partial birth abortion and every other kind of satanic and ugly thing. Yeah, when you recognize it, you realize, okay, we're dealing with evil. We're dealing with evil. During the Kavanaugh hearings, from witches hexing Kavanaugh to radical feminists screaming at the doors of the Supreme Court for their, quote, right to abortion, to the women's marches and the talk of blowing up the White House, we're talking about something radical, extreme, ugly, destructive. There's nothing that Satan ever gives us that is for our ultimate good. If it satisfies for a moment, in the long term, it brings bondage. And no one, no man or woman who gives themselves to sin at the end of their lives says it was worth it. But when you say no to the enemy, when you stand up against his agenda, when you refuse to bow down to the gods of this age and the spirit of this age, when you get to the end of it, you are grateful, you are glad that you did. Sin is never worth it. Obedience to the Lord is always worth it.
And this is interesting, too, that some people see, you know, who becomes your enemy as really an evaluation of who you are, what your character is. So one of the other things or positive things out of this is if you see a Jezebel spirit coming against different people, you know those folks are working according to the Lord's plan and to expand the kingdom, generally speaking. Because back in Scripture, those were the folks, same folks calling for repentance, calling for people to come into line with what the Lord had already laid out.
Yeah, all you need to do is get involved in pro-life work, for example, and be part of a godly activity outside of an abortion clinic. I mean, there are other things as well, but that is so open, so overt. I remember being part of an Operation Rescue event in the mid-1990s, mid to late 1990s in Maryland. And what was really striking was the opposition that came out to protest. There were Satanists, there were atheists, and there were gays and lesbians. I remember thinking, what an odd coalition here. What? And you think, okay, Satanists, you understand it, atheists, you understand it. But I'm thinking, gays and lesbians, in terms of their normal relationships, children are not an issue. In other words, the men with men, women with women are not producing children, and yet they were so militantly pro-abortion. It seemed to be almost a coalition of death or a coalition against life or the next generation. And some of my friends who are active on a weekly basis sharing the gospel in front of abortion clinics told me nothing's changed. It's just intensified. And I remember one fellow back in the early 80s was shocked. He said, you know, grandmothers with grandkids in the car pull down the windows and curse you out like a sailor just because you're offering the gospel in front of an abortion clinic. Or the moment you stand up against radical gay activism, or the moment you say, you know what, I'm really not excited to see, you know, a 15-year-old boy racing with 15-year-old girls, you know, running races and saying that he's actually a girl. I'm not comfortable with that. And the hatred and the vitriol that comes your way, you realize, okay, looks like we're on the right side of this issue. Looks like we're shining light into dark places. And look at what is getting stirred up. And if folks don't believe what I'm saying, all right, you're trying to sell some book. Hey, listen, go out and do what we're talking about. Start to take on a prophetic role, by which I mean stand for righteousness and with love and grace, call for repentance, beginning in the church and in the world around us, and you tell me what comes against you. Then you'll understand why I wrote Jezebel's War with America.
All right. I want to, you touched on this a little bit earlier when, and I completely agree with you, you know, our ultimate enemy is not Marxist. Our ultimate enemy is not Islamist. There's a grand satanic conspiracy, and our ultimate enemy is the evil one. I mean, that's very clear. There is a manifestation, though, in the physical of what's happening in the spiritual. And so you'll get some folks that'll come out and say, well, Jesus was actually a feminist or Jesus was a socialist. How do you answer those folks when they come out with some of those more theologically dubious statements?
Well, yeah, a lot of people, it's interesting. On the one hand, the Bible is bashed and Jesus is bashed. On the other hand, in our society today, people want to show, no, they're on the right side of the Bible. They're on the right side of Jesus. So what it either is a rewriting of Scripture or a misunderstanding of Scripture or a selective use of Scripture. So if we talk about, you know, Jesus was a feminist, we could say, listen, Jesus absolutely stood out as one who incorporated women in his ministry and liberated women from a lower status. And had women that traveled along with the apostles. And in the New Testament, it's women who first saw Jesus after he rose from the dead. On the flip side, he called 12 men to be his apostles. He didn't call 12 women, that there is still a certain function in society. And he very strongly spoke of marriage as being the union of one man and one woman together for life. He didn't repudiate marriage as some patriarchal vestige that had to be cast off. As far as Jesus being a socialist does not believe in sell all your possessions, give to the poor, and follow a life of radical obedience to Jesus. A socialist believes in basically forced redistribution of wealth. Jesus never advocated that. I'm not saying he was a capitalist and that he made earning money, you know, a particular goal, but Jesus was one to say, store up treasure in heaven and give with generosity. So everybody wants to make Jesus fit into their own image, fit into their own situation. You even have gay activists that try to radically misinterpret verses and rewrite the Bible to say that Jesus supported gay activism. All you have to do is just keep reading, keep looking, look at passage after passage, and these ridiculous interpretations completely disappear. You know, I was asked a question on my radio show today, and someone wanted to know about, there's a theology about God being the mother and God being the father. And I said, look, we're all created in God's image, male and female, so his image is fully reflected male and female. And the Bible speaks of motherly characteristics of God and tenderness of God. I said, but throughout Scripture, he's identified as our father. And we're to relate to him as father. There's something about that that's important. So what we normally do to destroy the false images and wrong readings of Scripture is just keep reading, because the Bible's pretty clear on these subjects.
In the last couple minutes that we have left, if you could, give a specific message to the millennial generation, because we've got a lot of young folks that listen to Patriot Radio. What would you say to them about this issue? Because it seems kind of far out there to them. This is really the real world. I believe in science. That kind of a mindset. What would be your message to them?
Yeah, I would say first, I love to interact with millennials. My largest number one constituency of followers on social media and our Ask Dr. Brown sites is 25 to 34 year olds. So I live in this world. I'm 64, but absolutely, I'm interacting with millennials day and night. Look. Millennials, you like authenticity. You like reality. That's why reality TV has become big in the last generation. And what I'm talking about is authentic and real. There is a scientific, rational explanation for the extreme positions that people take, for even advocating infanticide, for the growing number of witches. What's the scientific rational explanation? There is a spiritual realm. This is not just normal people acting a little bit batty. There is a real spiritual realm. There are real demonic powers. How is it that the Democrat Party, the party of science, is the party sanctioning abortion right up until the moment of delivery, and even in some cases sanctioning infanticide? How does that happen? It happens because people lose their hearts and their minds and their souls to spiritual deception. What I'm saying is rational, scientific, connect the dots. Ask yourself why all of these things have risen sociologically, anthropologically, just in recent years in ways they never have before. Ask yourself, what is rational and scientific about declaring Bruce Jenner the woman of the year? There's something more going on. And to me, the most logical explanation is we are in a spiritual battle. We are in a battle for the soul of our nation. It's as if the nation drank corporate Kool-Aid and is believing the wackiest, craziest things. Why? Because we've cast off the one true God and put instead dark, ugly, demonic substitutes. Jezebel has been exposed, and we must defeat Jezebel for the good of our families, for the good of the next generation.
You have a whole bunch of books and teaching resources. If people want to go find out more about you or dig into some of these resources, where can they go?
AskDrBrown.org. AskDrBrown.org. When they go there, they can connect with us on Facebook or YouTube or Twitter or Instagram. AskDrBrown.org. Thousands of hours of free resources there, and a full-time ministry school people can enroll in, again, all at AskDrBrown.org.
All right, Dr. Michael Brown, thank you very much for joining me on Patriot Radio today. Blessings to you, and really would love to have you back on again. These are important issues for our times, especially for Christians.
Sounds good. God bless you.
All right, Dr. Michael Brown, Ask drbrown.org. I'm going to post, I think I'll try to post this anyway. I'm going to get it real quick here. Tonight, just as a reminder again, Coeur d'Alene, Idaho, Dr. Tom DeWeese is going to be giving a presentation once again on property rights and Agenda 2030 at the Coeur d'Alene Best Western Inn right off the freeway, 7 o'clock. Again, Tom DeWeese tonight in Coeur d'Alene. And if you haven't been to, if you don't know Tom DeWeese, you haven't been to his presentations, please go, because he really is about solutions and about the reality of what we are facing. And the positive development over the years is, look, these guys wanted to destroy America and bring America down by 1976. And then it was 1994. And then it was Agenda 21. And then it was Agenda 2030. So the fact is, our involvement has driven their timeline back. And he's very good about laying it all out, that Agenda 21, Agenda 2030 is not just about property rights. It invades and is intentionally trying to corrupt virtually every area you can possibly think of. So take a look at that. That's the practical side. And you've got AskDrBrown.org on the other side as well. He's got resources on virtually every question that's out there. Really, really well done website. So take a look at Dr. Brown's website as well. But bottom line is, Christians, we're supposed to be fighting the spiritual. We are also supposed to be spreading the gospel of Jesus Christ, making disciples, showing tangible love to our neighbor, which is in the physical. And there is a physical manifestation of what's happening in the spiritual. And it's not just the battle that is going on inside of us. There are physical manifestations of evil. I've seen them personally. And we need to be ready for those as Christians. We need to not just have the knowledge, but we need to have the heart to act. Not just the knowledge, but the heart to act. This is Matt Shea. Thank you once again for joining me on Patriot Radio today. And again, 7 o'clock tonight, Coeur d'Alene Best Western Inn, Tom DeWeese. May God bless all of you, and may he make this generation the greatest one.